Item 4 is a subdivision and rezoning at 1286, 1290, and 1294 Ravelston Avenue West under file DAS Z 32 of 2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this will be a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item 5 is a variance at 1286, 1290, and 1294 Ravelston Avenue West under file DAV 164440 of 2014D.
Thank you. All right, the applicant, we have John Winthrop.
Good evening. John Winthrop, 301-139 Roslyn Road, Winnipeg.
Good evening.
I'm here on behalf of the landowners. First, I'd like to ask if there's anybody here in opposition or anybody else. As I'll then do a little bit more of elaborate of a presentation than I was hoping for. We're looking to rezone this piece of property at the corner of Ralston and Pegwith Street to go to a residential multiple family, a mixed-use category. Which would allow potentially commercial, limited commercial on a limited basis, and some multiple family residential. Right now, the plans that we submitted, just to clarify, just to get to the public hearing, we're required to submit plans. We did do that, but we're open to hearing suggestions from the community committee as well as from the residents of any kind of design changes. We're not sold on this plan. It's a conceptual drawing. We're just trying to fulfill a requirement the city demands of us just to get to this public hearing body. We're more interested in getting the RMU zoning tonight, not so much the variances or the design approved tonight. Those could come in later on at a later date. I do want to note that back in October 2014, we did submit color elevations of the building as well as a shadow study. I note in the planner's report they say there was no elevations provided. We did submit that back last fall. That was a requirement just to get to the public hearing. Once again, there's a list of variances here. I believe the front yard is along Ravelston. If we're not sold on this design, we're looking more for the change in land use. We feel it's an appropriate change of category there. Directly to the north is a functioning as a somewhat as a commercial business, as a landscape greenhouse. On the other two corners, directly across, I believe you've heard previously, a multiple family application directly to the east of us, and to the northwest is going to be as well multiple family in the future. We think that fits into the area. Directly to the south and to the southwest of us has been multiple family conditionally approved, and directly to the west, R1. I just want to point out that application was approved actually back in 2014, February 12th or 14th of 2014, but 2012. So it's been more than a few years. I don't believe the bylaw has a pass on those lands. And if you look on the map and the planner's report, it still indicates the agricultural zoning district. I believe those lands are still what they were originally zoned, and the bylaw hasn't been adopted. But the intention is to have multiple family near us and around us and against us, as well as some single family. We think the land use fits into the area. We're looking to be consistent with the Transcona West Secondary Plan that involved a lot of public engagement. In that Transcona West Secondary Plan, under the Ralston-Almy Special Planning Area District, under policies, I believe, section 5.4, indicated this would be residential mixed use and have some sort of local commercial, the idea that people don't have to drive as far. They could walk down the street to get some neighborhood commercial amenities. That would be the limited scope we'd be looking at if we were to have any commercial as part of the zoning category. I just want to ask or bring up a couple points. More confirmation on what the front yard is. I believe it is along Ravelston, and we're asking for a front yard setback along there. There was a note in the planning department under the conditions of approval of requiring a 20-foot buffering against R1, R1L. I just want to point out once again, I believe legally the land's zoned to us where that cul-de-sac bay is currently today not changed its zoning. Whether our application moves forward and actually can get to three readings and start construction beforehand before that application, then that wouldn't apply. I would respectfully suggest that perhaps instead of a 20-foot setback in terms under the zoning agreement, maybe to have fencing along the west property line, a 6-foot-tall fence along there to buffer against us and the adjacent property. Regardless of what the zoning is, we'd have to construct that fence, and that would be a permanent buffer. And under the bylaw, there is a requirement to actually have, if those lands do change to R1, there's a requirement to have a 20-foot setback against them. And if we were to want to build into that area with parking, we'd have to come back here to the community committee for a variance anyways. So we would not be circumventing any kind of zoning process. There was a requirement to construct a survey or to pay for a concrete sidewalk along the south side of Ravelston. I'm not sure. I don't believe there's a sidewalk there now, and I can't say I've ever seen a plan to put a sidewalk along the south side of Ravelston, so I just want to make sure there's confirmation that we're not constructing a sidewalk to start along our property, and it's just going to stop and nothing further to the west, and that's more of a question to the administration. And I just want to clarify that there's a lot of other developments going on in that area. I believe Ralston Avenue, there's at least two other developers who are likely under the obligation to upgrade it, that we would just be paying our fair share of the services, which should be one lane of pavement on the south side, street lighting along our frontage, and landscaping in the boulevard just along our frontage. And if there's a sidewalk there, that others installing that we're just doing that. I also want to confirm with the administration that regarding the restriction of services is that I'm not sure when Starlight subdivision is going to be moving forward, hopefully sooner than later, but I do know that a pipe has gone along Transcona Boulevard to service the development to the north of us, and that we'd be able to, if we wanted to, provide engineering studies and connect to that pipe if our development was to move forward before the North Grassy development. I want to make sure that we'd be able to have that option to be able to do that. From what I'm reading here, it says that. I just want to make sure that's correct. Those are kind of three points I wanted to issue. Once again, we're looking at changing the land use here to go to a RMU, residential multiple family. It's a mixed-use district that allows a very limited amount of commercial. If we were to move forward with commercial, we would, after this hearing, certainly come forward to the community committee. If we require any future variances to come forward to this community committee, plan approval would come forward to this community committee again. And we're welcome to hearing any kind of suggestions about the design or concepts or site plans for the site from any resident or as well as from the community committee. Once again, the plans we submitted were, we just met the city's requirement just to get to the public hearing to talk about this change in land use. We're not entirely sold on that plan. I'm open to any kind of questions that the committee might have for us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wintrop. Any questions from my colleague here at this point?
Sure. Thank you, Councilor.
Okay, go ahead, Councilor Shire.
The R1 zone is residence right to the west on the south side of Ravelston?
On the south side, yeah. That happens to be one of the landowners selling the land to my client.
Oh.
So he, Frank, and I don't think he's here tonight. He's a retired gym teacher, nice guy. He's participating in this, so he's well aware of this application. I've met with him, and he knows what's going on. He's selling the land. The other lands further down are potential R1 are currently vacant.
So this is part of the Garden Center lands, then?
What's that?
This is part of the Garden Center lands, then?
No, the Garden Center lands are to the north. That's George Sumka.
Oh, not Frank Sumka. Okay.
No, you're thinking that's his brother.
Oh.
The Sumka brothers, one's a fire chief, the other. Yeah. No, this is Frank Fiorentino, the retired, remember the gym teacher?
Yeah.
We had a lot of public hearings about.
He was here all the time, okay.
So, yeah.
You talked about a fence on the west side separating you from one of the two lots on the west side?
Yeah, like we're consolidating all the lots. I would say it should be in the most westerly property line, all the way down the property line, right around Frank's house, or around that, and then all the way down to the back, against the proposed, in the future, that cul-de-sac's going to be there. We should have the fence there between the two of us. Our fence would then, when the new houses come up, they have a fence backing a wood barrier, wood fence against those folks.
How did the fence idea come about?
Right now, today, because I was looking at it, going right now, the lands are zoned RR5. If I could probably get my third reading of my bylaw, get a permit in there, and I wouldn't have to provide that 20-foot setback because the lands adjacent to us are legally zoned RR5, not R1. So I wouldn't have to do anything. Not saying I'm doing that, but that could potentially happen. And so I'm thinking a fence, at least you can make it a requirement regardless of what the zoning of the land is next to us.
You're asking about the sidewalk, and you're asking for information from the city.
Yeah.
Does that affect your application on the variance?
No, I just want to make sure that my client's not installing a sidewalk just on his property, then there's no plans to the west of it. Because there's other houses, there's a street that's eventually supposed to go south to, I think it's called Sunny Day or something like that, to the Starlight Development. If there's a sidewalk going all the way along the street, Ralston, then we're happy to contribute to it, but if it's just along our portion, and that's what I just want confirmation on.
Confirmation, but so you have heard some word on this?
I've never seen it anywhere. I've been involved in this area for quite some time, and I've never heard of a sidewalk along the south side of Ralston ever, so I just want to know if there's a plan to do that.
So I'm sort of new here, so what if this is your worst case scenario?
Well, I don't want a sidewalk that's just along my client pays for a sidewalk that just stops, and then all the Ralston's a long road, and everybody else, there's no sidewalk, and it stops to nowhere. I don't want to see that either.
So you don't know any more about this than I do. So
yeah.
I have to ask the question.
No worries.
What if that is the case? That the sidewalk.
If the city wants me to build a sidewalk that goes to nowhere, I think it's. I would prefer to see it either go somewhere or not at all.
Okay, so you're stating your preference.
Yeah.
Of course, and I don't know where this is going. This is new to me. So.
Yeah, I don't want just a sidewalk on my property going nowhere. I want it to lead to either all the way down the street or to a cross street. Like if it's going down to the first street, that's going to go north south, going into Starlight Drive. That sounds fine to me too. It should go somewhere beyond my property line, from one street, from Pego Street to somewhere, not just to stop at somebody's front yard and be a ditch.
Thank you. You've mentioned about paving and your contribution to paving, but you think it should only be on the south half of Ravelston?
Yes. Most developments, you only pay for the services on your side of the street. I shouldn't be paying for when Sumka to the north and his greenhouse comes forward for rezoning, for whatever in the future, he or she will have to pay for the services on the north side along his stretch of the roadway. I shouldn't be paying for that.
This paving, is it an enhancement? Is it like to add a shoulder?
No, it's right now it's gravel. It's a real cross section of the road, so it's going to become an urban standard. And there's another development going on to the north of it. Water-sided developments did one. And they're creating a new north-south street access further down by La Jamote. So I think they're on the hook for doing land drainage and pavement all the way down to that first cross street section. John, North Grassy, their Starlight Drive, they're going to have a north-south street into their lands. They're required actually to do the same thing. Whoever goes first will pay for it first or do it, and then the city's going to collect money and they're going to pay the developer for paving or turning Ravelston into an urban cross-section, which is gutters, a concrete, a curb, street lights instead of ditches, ideally.
So you'd be responsible for paving once, or for how long would you be?
No, just for my front of the property, the city will collect fees to on behalf of the developer, whoever installed it, or I have to install it.
Indefinitely?
Yeah, like the developer pays for it, they install it, and then they get paid back, and I've seen some people get paid back 30 years later for something they've installed.
You have no obligations to Pigwa Street on the east side?
Yeah, that was expected. I think if, and the public service can correct me wrong, I believe that work's going to be happening this year, probably by Genstar or by Waterside, maybe, I don't know. Probably, I bet you North Grassy has to do the obligation, two lanes of pavement on the west side from, I believe, where it stops now, just north of the Costco all the way up to Pegwa Street is their obligation. And Genstar, sorry, did the, on their east side, they did their two lanes.
And you're not so interested in the variance today, you stated near the onset, it's the rezoning, which is your priority?
Yeah, my client wants to have some certainty that he's got a rezoning category, and then he'll go out and design a building. Unfortunately, it happens quite often, you'll see it. I just did one two nights ago, where we then come back with a design done by an architect that meets whatever the community committee. This building's already going to get changed because you're proposing a restriction of 60 feet, which cuts the building off by three stories. So that's going to generate an entirely new set of plans. So there might be different variances to try to meet parking and the design of the building and the suite layouts and all those stuff. And so quite often there'll be another set of variances likely to come back here. And that's part of the bylaw, is if there's future variances on a multiple family site, it comes back to this same community committee. And then there's plan approval, which you've done tonight. Before I get a building permit, the plans have to come in here to look for the design, landscaping, the facades, all that stuff. A lot can change over the next year to 2 years in terms of designs, cost for materials, something new. A different architect team could come in and we'll come forward and get approvals. That's why we're not set on the design, and I feel for my clients and the city and the residents, I'm not misleading them. I'm just meeting a requirement to get the public hearing to figure out what the zoning is going to be, because this is about land use tonight, not about the type of facade I'm going to have.
Thank you.
Any other questions? You're done. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing from any resident who has any questions or concerns about this project.
All right. Is there anybody else's name that's not been called that wishes to speak in support of this application? Anybody whose name that's not been called wishes to speak in support of this application? Okay. And again, in opposition, Susan Russell. Good evening. If you'd state your name and address for the record, please.
Susan Russell, McGowan Russell, 825 St. Joseph Street.
Thank you.
I'm appearing on behalf of the adjacent property owner, North Grassy Properties, the Starlight subdivision. Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay.
I have here a letter that wrote with John Weeb and Norm Boyle.
Would you pass it over to the...
That they asked that I distribute at this meeting.
All
I've
right.
got four copies. I hope that's enough. So just a couple of things, just to before I get into the letter, just a couple of things, because I knew this would come up with regards to scheduling. Starlight, just so everybody knows, is going to start construction March 9th. Completion of the roads and services is August of this year. They are in the last stages. As you know, land titles can take a little bit of time for registration of the plans. It's been in there for a while. And they're supposed to get it within the next week or so. So that R1M zoning is real. And that's their basic concern. So I'm just going to get into the letter. And essentially, my client wanted me to appear in opposition. But he essentially has no problem with the multiple family zoning. He's actually very happy that this site is moving forward. It just helps with everything. It helps share all the costs. It helps do all of those kinds of things. But there are two major concerns that he has. And the first one is the proximity to the existing single family R1M zoned lots abutting the property to the west in the Starlight subdivision. And I know that the planner had also identified this as well. Just a little bit of background, just to let everybody know. The area of the existing R1M zone single-family lots, do you guys have the overall plan? Because I forgot it up top there. I can bring it to show you where that... Should I go get that?
You have the report with you, Figure 3 of Starlight Development DAS Z11 of 2011. It shows that the... Of the
it shows where it is.
Of the block bordered by Ravelstone to the north and Peguis to the east, it shows that the, I guess, northeast corner is actually not part of the planned subdivision.
No. No. And then the area just south of those single-family lots...
Do you want to come look at my screen for one sec?
For me?
Do you have a copy? Can you come take a look?
I've got small copies, yes.
Sure. I'm going to bring it over here for a sec. To me, on the image, it's part of the administrative report, the northeast corner of that bounded area, this area here, Jason, is not currently...
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly
okay, but that's the key. But they're talking about right here, and this area is not part of your client's subdivision.
No, but it's this is their subdivision right now that they're going on for right now.
Oh, I see. They're separately applying for that.
Yeah, this is what John is applying for, is this piece here. This is 32.
No, I think he's north of Ravelstone, isn't he?
South.
Yeah. I'm disoriented here. Hold on.
It's okay.
Yes. Okay.
It's right there, yeah.
Okay, right on the corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
that whole piece there. Okay. Yeah, that whole piece there. And so it's this, it's the adjacency here that they're most concerned
with. So you guys have RMFM.
Yeah, I have one of the names. This one right in here is where they're concerned about.
Okay, but your client already has RMFM. On
absolutely,
their border,
and that's all fine. Yeah. RMFM is 60-foot height. It's
yeah, okay.
But I'll just run through the letter and
sure.
And,
okay. Thank you for the clarification. Though I was thinking this was closer to where the garden center was, so I was in the wrong spot.
So in terms,
I'm not used to dealing with transcona matters here.
So yeah, I know. It's all perfect. So just a little bit of background. In the original subdivision, the original conceptual plans of subdivision that were done for the Starlight site, that R1M, that cul-de-sac there, was originally proposed as RMFM, similar to the site that was just south. But due to concerns expressed by the adjacent property owners in terms of proximity to their single-family residential, those kinds of things, North Grassy Property then said, okay, fine, we'll put a cul-de-sac in there instead to address your concerns of having multifamily close to your single-family homes. So they did that. So all they're asking through this process is to get the same consideration, that we not go quite as aggressive. No problem with the RMU zoning. It's just the height, setbacks, those kinds of things.
That's all those the variances?
Pardon me? Oh, I'm absolutely opposed to. No, not all the variances. Just the variance that says they don't need any landscape buffer along the edge of that. They don't really, not that they don't care. Whatever the city decides with regards to the buffering along the RMFM, along the RMFL, whatever. If they decide just a fence, if they decide, because sometimes it's just a fence, sometimes it's a 10-foot buffer, whatever they decide, doesn't matter. They're only concerned about the single-family homes, that's all. And they're just asking for the same consideration that they gave to the same people that are now applying in terms of how that development occurs. That's all they're asking for. So to that end, pardon me, go ahead.
You're not contesting the rezoning, you're contesting the nature of the potential variances, is this it?
No, also the rezoning, in that we are definitely opposed to the rezoning to RMU if certain conditions are not applied. My client believes, that we should go a little bit further than what planning was suggesting. Planning suggesting, in order to mitigate the potential impact on the adjacent single-family residential, planning is suggesting that conditions be applied to the proposed RMU zoning. Correct me if I'm wrong here, James. But the two major conditions are a minimum 20-foot wide landscape buffer in order to try and mitigate that. So it's landscaping. You can't have parking in there. You can't put any development. You can't put anything in there. Well, you can't put a building in there anyways. But nothing can go in there except for landscaping. That's what they're asking for. And then they're also asking that the building height be reduced to a maximum of 60 feet.
Is it height of variance?
under an RMU, you're allowed 100 feet.
Copy of your letter to the applicant, by any
yeah,
chance?
Absolutely. So all my client's asking for that first concern is to add to 1.2.1 where it's saying the property, the subject property shall be limited to 60 foot in height for building, is just adding in something that was definitely alluded to in the planner's report was the stepping of the building as you approach the so you start at 60 feet at Pegasus, but you step down as you approach the property line, the shared west property line with the R1M zone. That's what they're asking for there in that one. And if it's going to be 60 feet high, then there's a clause, and James, maybe you can explain this better than I can. There's a clause in the City of Winnipeg's infill development guidelines for multifamily housing adjacent to single-family homes that talks about what they call a 45-degree projection, that no part of a building should extend into this 45-degree projection. And that projection is 6 feet above the ground, considering a fence, and then 45 degrees. So that the building, using math, if it's a 60-foot high building, then, and it's a equilateral triangle, then, or isosceles, I guess, with a 90-degree angle.
Now, is that from the property line or the back wall of the home?
From the property line. From the property line. Not the back wall of the home. From the property line. We applied it to the Palliser development. Just something that you might be more familiar with. So they're just asking for that kind of thing. Actually, my client was actually asking for 60 feet, similar to Concordia, in terms of a full landscape buffer, but I was suggesting that perhaps that's a bit onerous. But the, because Concordia, and you're familiar with Concordia, I'm assuming, Councillor Baratti, that one, adjacent single-family residential, it was a 60-foot setback, no parking, no nothing, all landscaped with a lot of trees and those kinds of things. But what they're suggesting here is that they have a restriction on building proximity, which is fine. And actually, the existing plans they've done show that. It's just that it's 90 feet tall, so 92 feet tall, so it projects into that 45-degree angle. The other thing is my client's hoping, which there are other examples in the city, not a 60-foot landscape buffer, but a 40-foot landscape buffer in that area instead of the 20 feet that is being recommended, just adjacent to the single family, not the other ones. Whatever happens everywhere else is, but he's very concerned about the single family homes. So those are the two things he's asking for, is that the he agrees 100% with the 60-foot restriction that's been identified by the planner, but would like to add to that the addition that it cannot, just in case there's a decision to make it move close to the property line, it really can't from what's currently being shown on the plans. And I know John said that they weren't definitive plans, but anyways. Yeah.
Just so I can clarify on this point, when you talk about the 45-degree angle rule, when it just as it applies to the single family homes, you're referring to five lots that are adjacent to that?
Yeah, the lots that are adjacent to that whole cul-de-sac really gets affected. But
the
yes.
whole cul-de-sac. I only see five exactly. lots that are up against that fence.
Yes.
Just those five lots yes. are in question. Yes. Okay.
There's however many, yeah. There's, I think there's five full and then there's a couple of partials, but yes. Yeah, the ones on the cul-de-sac get affected. So that's what he is requesting. And just one other thing that we've done on other ones, and I don't know how the committee feels about this, and John may be amenable to this as well. Something that, because we've worked on a couple of others, Concordia, Kildona Green, on Dakota, on a bunch of these, and what has been added into the requirement, the reduction in the height, a certain setback for landscaping, but also a requirement to work with the adjacent property owner in terms of coming up with a final solution to that, which I think John was alluding to in his presentation. So that's the first concern, is the proximity of that building to the single-family homes. The second concern is the off-site costs and construction requirements, things that we did not see in theirs. And the background to that is that at the time of the DSZ 1111, which is the one for Starlight Village, the lands under DSZ 3214 and other developments have not been initiated, and thus quite a large share of off-site costs were attributed to DSZ 1111. Now that this property, DSZ 3214, is applying for subdivision rezoning, North Gressie Properties just wants to make sure that DSZ 3214 be assigned its fair share of off-site costs and construction requirements as follows. The first one is in the Schedule B, reported the Administrating Quartering Group, C9 is the point, Pegua Street. The construction of Pegua Street along the full length of the subject property abutting Pegua Street, which is what my client would like. And what that's referring to is the client has a section of property that John agreed that our client, that his client is responsible for constructing from the north limit of the section of the Starlight that comes out to Pegwest to Ravelston. They are absolutely required to do that. North Gressie has no obligation. Pardon me?
Do what, sorry?
They are required to, right now under the existing agreement, they are required to pay their fair share of the cost. They're not required to construct it. And what North Gressie is hoping that we could do through this is say that they are required to pay to actually construct it instead of North Gressie having to construct it. That's what they're hoping. And it's just strictly to offset some of the costs from North Gressie onto who's going to be paying for it anyways in the long run. And it also, North Gressie isn't under an obligation to build that for another couple of years anyways. So it just depends, again, as John had said, on the timing, right? They will likely be in there before North Gressie it has to build that section. So perhaps it should be stated more that they are responsible for building it rather than just paying their fair share of the cost. And the other two items on here is just paying their fair share of the cost. As determined by the City of Winnipeg, is there even going to be anything attributed to them? I don't know, but just a consideration to look at their fair share of the cost of the pedestrian corridor, which right now has to be paid 50-50 between Genstar and North Gressie, but likely some of it will be used and could be attributed to this subdivision as well as that pay their fair share of the cost of the traffic control signals at Pegasus Street and Ravelston Avenue West, which right now, again, is to be shared between, whoever ends up developing that one corner on the northwest and North Gressie Properties and Genstar at this point in time, I think it is. So they're just asking if there's any way to just ensure that that's looked into, whatever that may be. And that's it.
Any questions of the party opposed to you tonight?
No further questions, but thank you for your response.
Thank you.
Explanation. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Is there anybody whose name that's not been called who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Is there anybody whose name that's not been called who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Is there anybody whose name that's not been called who wishes to speak or register for information? For information? Hear none. We now have an opportunity for the applicant to return.
Hi. Thank you. This is the first time I've seen this, so I've... Thank you, Susan Russell. It's always great to see her here. She's raised some really good points here. I'll go over it very briefly. Regarding the additional costs, I think the scale of the development that we're proposing is significantly less than what North Gressie is proposing on Starlight Drive. They have actually three multiple family sites, a lake, several houses. At the time they made their applications, the Genstar application or the none of the other applications were approved. If they feel they need to have different costs or things taken out, they should make an application to amend their development agreement. I recall that application quite well. I think there were some engineering requirements put on them because at that time nobody else had anything approved. They should probably review it and maybe make an application to City of Winnipeg to amend it. I don't believe that my client should be paying for crosswalks and some of this other stuff. We're prepared to follow the development agreement parameters set out by council and approved here and pay our fair share related to our property. In terms of off-site costs further away from us, will follow the development agreement parameters, and that's what we're looking to ask for today. North Grashy should deal with their issues through an amendment to their development agreement. In terms of proximity to a single family, I think there's some great ideas being proposed for buffering. We'd be prepared to do that when North Grassy amends their application to put the same kind of restrictions on their RFM medium site that abuts their single-family dwellings, on their RFML site that abuts single-family dwellings along Elmia Avenue. When they want to do that, I'll do that. I don't see those restrictions on their lands. I'm prepared to do some sort of buffering if the city wants to incline. There are four lots backing onto my site proposed in the future. I'll provide a buffer against those four lots. I don't think I should be providing a buffer against multiple family to the south of me or the multiple family medium to the west of me. I'll do along the single family dwellings that are abutting the four lots that abut my property, more so than what North Grassy is doing against their own multiple family, against their own single family. I'm open to doing something like that. Once again, I'd like to thank North Grassy and their and Susan, who's put together a very nice little letter here tonight, and I hope you consider everything. And I don't believe they're against the RMU zoning. I didn't hear anything against the variances. Once again, I'm not sold on the variances. We'll probably be back in the future. We're prepared to do some buffering against the single-family dwellings where the community decides. I'm not so much prepared to do it against the multiple family lands, and I'm just prepared to pay for my fair share of services that either others install or I'm required to do according to the development agreement parameters. I'm open to any kind of questions or anything I got from the committee.
Any questions, Councillor Schreier?
Just trying to get my head around the 45-degree angle rule.
Yeah, it's not even a policy adopted by council. It was an infill guideline put together, I want to say, about 10 years ago. If a six-foot-tall person, and I'm approximately that height, stands at the edge of my property, I look up at 45 degrees, I'm supposed to see clear sky. I've yet to see anybody who stands at the end of their property and does that, but we're prepared to follow that rule, rule of thumb or whatever. It's in a document that the planning department put together about 12 years ago. Yeah, I'm fine with that. We can follow that rule.
That affects your buffering.
Yeah, the building has to be further away. It's more about the building being further away. The site's large enough that I can place a building. I'm not looking to put a building or parking right against people's houses. We don't do that. I don't do that. I can meet the 45-degree angle. I'm more than happy to shift my building towards the front of Pegwa Street or more towards northwest, the corner of the site. That's easy enough to do. I'm not so much enthralled about having a zoning agreement that I'm required to do when the developer has multiple family and they don't even have those restrictions on their lands.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, John. Okay. I guess my question now for Greg is, in terms of the beyond the development parameters, is there anything else that the applicant, if we were to accept the subdivision rezoning, are there any additional?
No, basically we've asked them to pay a share of the frontage along Ravelston and Pegasus.
The road, the sidewalk, that they
and the sidewalk. The plans are this year is Ravelston will be converted to an urban cross section, if you want, with pavement and sidewalks and everything else. And so that portion, whoever puts it in, is almost irrelevant. But
now, is Pegwas paved between Ravelston and Concordia?
Pegwas right now is asphalt on one side. It's going to be four lanes altogether. So two lanes are in on the east side that was put in by GenStar.
Okay.
And
they've got concrete now from where Costco, where it ended I guess to the north of Costco. They've completed that all the way through to Ravelston. Is it beyond there too?
Yeah, it goes right
it goes all the way through Concordia, so there's no longer gravel on any of that stuff.
That's right, yeah. It's actually asphalt.
I didn't get it.
But there are two more lanes that are going in from Costco to that.
Yeah.
And Starlight is actually responsible for that. And then they would get recovery from the privates, and this would be one of the privates that they would get recovery from.
So they're suggesting, though,
for
that they're getting a disproportionate amount of offsite costs. Is there
No, I mean, like in terms of Peguis, they'd be responsible for their frontage if you want.
Yeah.
So
who is
this applicant?
Is, okay.
Yeah. And down the road, everyone would have to pay for as Peguis gets developed, then they would also have to pay for their share. Right now, Starlight has to put it in, but the city is actually going to pay them back within 2 years with interest, and then collect from the privates. In this case, to put it in little pieces doesn't make sense, because you'd have to have you'd have to join up the old pavement and everything else to have transitions.
Okay.
So you really have to put it all in at once. Yeah.
Okay. All right, based on that, if you don't mind taking the chair, Councillor Shire, I'll move some motions here.
All right.
Unless you have any questions.
No further questions from me, Councillor Brawley.
Okay, I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? Carried.
I move that... public representations be concluded. The receipt of public representations be concluded. That's my move.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in with the following amendments. After 1.2, that the language here be added in regards to the 45 degree angle, the wording on the letter from Miguel Russell. Does that seem reasonable and appropriate, James?
Yes, if you wish to do that, that's reasonable.
As well as the language in 1.22, replace 20 feet. They recommend 40 feet. I'm going to say that the buffer would be 30 feet, but it could be more based on the 45 degree angle. So I'm going to change the 20 degree recommendation to 30 feet.
But that's still a function of the 45-degree angle?
Right. So, I mean, depending on how they step it, it could actually still be 54 feet if they want to do a 60-foot wall. So we're still maintaining the 60-foot maximum height as recommended by the public service, even though RMU does let you do 100 feet. So those are the two amendments that we'll adopt, that I'm moving, and that the report be moved to... Yes?
Sorry, just to clarify, so you're moving that 1.21 from the submission from Gowan Russell be added,
correct?
And then for 1.22, and this is actually recommendation 2A2 of the report. No, sorry, 2A3, that a landscape strip of 30.
No, the adjustment. The report from the public service recommends a 20-foot
yeah.
buffer. From the R1M and the R1L zoned
yeah.
properties.
They wanted to say 30, right?
The public service recommendation was 20 feet. They were asked, McGowan Russell was representing the R1M and R1L property owner, was suggesting 40 feet. I'm going to say the adjustment go to 30 feet.
Okay, perfect.
But again, that still does potentially, restrict things, because the 45-degree angle pieces, if they want to do the full 60 feet, they're still going to be 54 feet away from that property line.
And just one other thing.
Oh, and the other piece about the coniferous trees, we're going to leave that out. That can be part of the site plan process whenever that comes back. I don't want to get into that detail at this point.
Okay. There was two amendments I actually had from Richard Mahi
submitted
for your consideration. The first is recommendation 3, the wording for the land dedication. I think they just wanted to use some revised wording. I can read that wording for you to consider. He's asking that delete 3 in its entirety and replace it with the following: that in lieu of the requirement for land dedication, a sum of money be paid to the city calculated as 10% of the appraised value of the debt of the development application as determined by the city. I think it was just a housekeeping matter.
Yeah, that's very standard.
Incorrect okay. wording was used. And then the second recommendation was that a new clause be added, that there shall be no billboard signs and mobile signs on the entire RMU site.
That's also very standard. So I will take both of those recommendations from the planner. I apologize for this not being in the process earlier. This should have probably been brought in earlier, but I will move those two additional changes.
And that the those are the recommendations, and that that be moved on to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
Is it clear to clerks in terms of the adjustment regarding the 30 feet as it applies to the 45-degree angle?
Well, I was looking at the report. Recommendation 2A3 states, this is how it's currently worded, that a landscape strip of 20 feet shall be provided adjacent to the shared property line with R1M and R1L zone districts. The amendment proposed is basically deleting the 20 feet and replacing it with 30 feet, if I'm
That's
correct.
Right.
And I don't think there was any wording that needed to be added, but you can comment on that.
No, I think that's straightforward. The separate motion, the separate additional line, the 121, supposes the 45-degree piece specifically from the R1M and R1L areas.
It does make sense. The amendment makes sense to me. So okay. If it makes sense.
I think we'll hear about it if it's not, I'm sure.
Fair enough.
Or the department staff will hear about it if it's not.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
The reasons for supporting this, again, it's exciting to see Transcona finally become part of the city of Winnipeg. We're filling in some of that that area that was so challenging to develop because of the real challenges in terms of providing servicing there. I mean, we've always known land drainage has been a challenge being where Transcona is, and it's exciting to see that, that this is coming online. I think the market is such that multifamily probably does make sense in this case along Ravelston, which is going to be a substantial four-lane collector street in the future. And I think this is good to see. It's good to see multiple property owners coming together to take old rural lots and literally clean the area up with new urban development. So this is orderly development and consistent, if not in the specifics of the Transcona West structure plan, at least the spirit of it, if, you know, on the specific sites. So very exciting. So those are my motions, and I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
In terms of the variance,
Oh, yeah. Too many papers here. Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted on the subdivision and rezoning. All persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council.
In regards to the variance, I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
I guess I have to say, I don't want to accept the variance at this time, so I just have to read the whole thing out and say it's not consistent. Is that correct? Mr. Kleck?
Correct.
Why do we say it's not consistent? Sorry?
Well, this is in terms of the language of the procedure here.
So that your intention is to not approve the variance.
We'll get to that at a later point.
So then it would be not...
Okay. I move that in accordance with subsection 247-3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter, the variance A is not consistent with Plan Winnipeg and any applicable secondary plan. B does create a substantial adverse effect on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience of the adjoining property and adjacent area, including an area separated from the property by a street or waterway. C is not the minimum modification of a zoning bylaw required to relieve the injurious effect of the zoning bylaw on the applicant's property, and D is not compatible with the area in which the property to be affected is situated. After having said that, my only reasons for doing this are such that I think it's appropriate that the actual plans come forward before any variances are considered by this committee, so, or for that matter, the Board of Adjustment if it's in excess of 1 year from now. So based on that, I just don't think we're ready until we actually have real plans for the site, and that's what I'm moving on that section.
And why do we do that way instead of a layover?
Because they don't necessarily have any plans in the near term to be developing this, as per the comments from the applicant. But again, they do need to provide some sort of plans, but I don't think they have any intentions whatsoever of building what they submitted.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Service not be concurred in and the variance rejected.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Carried.
It is noted the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order, which will be mailed to all persons registered.